Do you ever feel like life is speeding up, like time is rapidly passing, with no signs of slowing? Well, I recently read that psychologists have given this phenomenon a label. It's called tachykinesia, and they say it's a distortion of time where a person may feel like everything around them is in fast forward. Well, Tim, I think you'd agree that tachykinesia is a tricky word and an interesting diagnosis of a common phenomenon. But for most people who feel like recent events have pushed our society into fast forward, there's a spiritual explanation. We would say that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. The signs of the end times are increasing exponentially right before our very eyes as we approach Christ's return. We call it convergence, and it's our topic for today.
That's exactly right. Well, folks, welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm your host, Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lemon Lion, and you just heard from my co-host, Nathan Jones, our Internet Evangelist. Together, our mission at Lamb and Lion Ministries is to bring you a sound, biblical understanding of Bible prophecy and to proclaim to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is returning soon. Now, Nathan, you and I are a little unusual in that we have studied Bible prophecy for a long time and we've prayed for God's wisdom to help understand these signs. So, what we are seeing is that many of the prophetic signs in the Bible are happening right now, in our lifetime, and convergence is simply the coming together of the signs of the times given to us in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and by Jesus Christ himself. The signs are increasing in frequency and signaling the soon return of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And as you listen over the next half hour, our hope is that you'll be encouraged to study the Bible for yourself and see how all the pieces of Bible prophecy are converging and coming together, like the pieces of a giant jigsaw puzzle. It's going to be an exciting and eye-opening episode as we review the signs of the times. To hear our previous episodes, where we go in-depth into all the individual categories of signs, such as spiritual signs or signs of world politics, just head on over to our website at christinprophecy.org. Well, there's no time to lose. Stay with us.
4 decades ago, Lamb and Lion Ministries was launched by Dr. David Reagan. And today, we are continuing his legacy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ to an international audience through TV, radio, and online. We're fulfilling the great calling to proclaim the truth of Scripture from beginning to the end. Find out more when you go to christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy. We want to start today's discussion of the convergence with a word of caution. Any predictions about dates or events that are not based on specific prophecy in the Bible should not be given any attention. You know, Nathan, over the years, many people have attempted to manipulate events to fit Bible prophecy, and some have cherry-picked passages to support their human speculations, but we refuse to do that. Yet in all the time that we've been following Bible prophecy, we've seen many that would like to make much ado about nothing. In short, any predictions based on human speculation rather than Bible prophecies will fail because God's Word is incredibly specific and precise. And the most important thing is to focus our attention on Bible prophecy and not the fanciful predictions of man.
Absolutely, Tim. And that's why we go to Jesus' own words to find out what the signs of the end times are. You can go to Matthew 24 or Luke 21 or Mark 13, especially starting in verse 3. The disciples were asking Jesus three questions. They said, when will these things be? In other words, the fall of the temple. What will be the signs of your coming? In other words, before the rapture and of the end of the age, leading up to the second coming at the end of the tribulation. And Jesus answered in the following paragraphs with different signs. There would be signs, false prophets, earthquakes, natural disasters. There would be signs in the sky. There would be fearful events. There would be false prophets. There would be the persecution of believers, an attack on Israel. And he said all these signs would be like the beginning of sorrows, verse 8. In other words, birth pains. Tim and I, we haven't gone through birth pains ourselves, but we watched our wives go through it, and we knew they started the contractions very slowly, but they, over time, as the baby was getting closer, they came closer together, and they got more frequent and more intense. And Jesus said these signs would increase in frequency and intensity the closer we got to the birth of the baby or to the answer to these three questions.
It's very important to recognize that's exactly right, that the frequency of signs is increasing. The intensity of signs is increasing. And as an aside, I think we should back up for just a moment and point out that the very first statement Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 to his disciples' three questions is, see to it that no one misleads you. And so Nathan and I have no desire whatsoever to mislead you, which is why we encourage all of you who are listening to our Christ in Prophecy radio program to test everything we say against the Word of God. But any supposed prophet or evangelist or teacher who would speculate and say something contrary to the Word of God is not from the Lord. As a matter of fact, they are being false in their declaration. So test everything we say against the Word of God. But Nathan, you're exactly right. Even when a doctor gives a due date for a baby, well, we don't expect that child necessarily to arrive on that date. But we know somewhere in that neighborhood of days, the week or two surrounding, the mother will begin to feel birth pangs and they will increase. And what we're saying on convergence is exactly that. The signs that we've been witnessing virtually all of our lives and even before, I dare say into the middle part of the 20th century, especially with the reestablishment of Israel, have been increasing in intensity and in frequency. And using that birth pangs analogy, here again, we don't know the day or the hour. We'll never speculate to that degree, but we recognize that soon and very soon, the Lord is going to break from the heavens.
And that's where we get this term convergence or converging. It's not just a sign of war or the sign of famine or the sign of pestilence. Again, these things have happened in history. So we have scoffers. 2 Peter 3 warned us that they would say, oh, it's always been this way. And we agree. There have been these types of disasters throughout human history. But the caveat is, Jesus said, they would increase in frequency and intensity the closer we got to this happening. So now it's not just one sign here or there or anywhere. They're all converging together, all the different categories of signs all at once, and they're coming at us harder and faster.
Well, you know, Nathan, in just the first three categories of signs that we've reviewed in recent weeks, we talked about the signs of nature, and that could be earthquakes, it could be hurricanes, storms, even solar storms that I've heard just recently are threatening the world at a heightened sense. We have signs of society, and who can read the newspaper or watch the news without feeling like the wheels are coming off, even here in our own nation? And the third category, spiritual signs. But just as an example, how all these things blend together, just recently, Pope Francis, the head of the Catholic Church, released a statement where he said the whole world needs to come together to combat global warming, or at least climate change, as it's now called. Because they see the same things that we do. I say they being the advocates of climate change that is caused by mankind, and they claim that that man is responsible for this. Well, we would say the sin of mankind is responsible for the curse the world is under, but now even the Pope is taking the Catholic Church in some very strange directions, converging around this idea of climate change and obviously blending to his ideology, which will be counterproductive to the flourishing of human society as we've known it.
Well, if the Pope didn't read the Bible in a spiritualized fashion, but read it literally, to take it literally, Jesus meant literal signs that would literally happen, that would point to his soon return. So, of course, he's leading the woke wagon, so to speak, with different views. Well, folks, there's more coming up, and next we'll look at what's going on in the world and how it relates to our topic as we review the signs of the times and how they are converging.
Hi, this is Tim Moore. With the presidential election looming and signs of the times multiplying all around, we want to encourage you to attend our annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference coming up Friday evening and Saturday, June 14th and 15th. You'll hear powerful speakers like Pastor Jack Hibbs and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and I'll be there too. This year's theme for the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference is Nation in Freefall. Come get an honest, biblical perspective about what's really happening in America and around the world as we share insights from Bible prophecy. You'll be encouraged by our blessed hope, even in such a time as this. Join us in person for the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference in Denton, Texas, or watch the live stream. For more information or to register to attend in person, go to christinprophecy.org/events. I'll hope to see you there. Well, here we are again with Christ in Prophecy, talking about the signs of the times and more specifically with their convergence. So, Nathan, you and I just spoke about the signs of nature, signs of society, and spiritual signs, both positive and negative, and all of those have been on the forefront of many newspaper headlines and articles. So, What have you found just in recent days talking about some of the current events that we witness regarding these signs?
What I love about this segment, it's called What's Really Going On. And I think the Bible is the best way to show what's really going on. So let's back up a little to what you said about Pope Francis taking this, looking at what they're calling climate change or global warming. In the end times, Jesus said that these natural disasters would be a wake-up call to bring people to acknowledge that the Lord is God and that He is shaking the nations and trying to wake us up so that we'll repent and return to Him. He's not sending these natural disasters to punish us, but to wake us up and to repent. Interesting articles, if we're talking about just recently, South Carolina jolted by 13 earthquakes in 25 minutes. Now, if you're from California, you probably think that's normal. But another article says, experts say recently Oklahoma earthquakes is alarming. 5.1 magnitude in an area that has no tectonic shifting. And this is just a small snapshot of the amount of earthquakes that, again, as we said earlier, are increasing in frequency and intensity all over the world.
Well, you know what? There's another spiritual dynamic even of these signs. What is the purpose of these signs? Why does God send signs to warn the world that Jesus' coming is imminent? I think it is to wake us up from our complacency. I say us, collectively as mankind. Nathan, you and I have been woken up for many years from any complacency. We are looking forward to the Lord's return. We are alert for all these signs and for His coming. But I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 16 where six bowls of wrath are poured out, and many of those would have literal impact on the earth, but we think that they are supernatural. In other words, they cannot be caused by man's actions, unlike even some of the seal and trumpet judgments. And yet, the response of man, instead of repenting, by and large, is to blaspheme God. And today, many see these very signs that you and I can point out, and instead of being taken to their knees and crying out in repentance to the Lord God, they just shake their heads or even curse God for what is befalling them personally. It's tragic.
It is. It is. And on one side, there's an ignorance because people look to these authorities in science and say, well, hey, they're trying to lead us in the right direction. We've got these natural disasters that we can't explain. It must be caused by man-made gas emissions. It's gotten to be so bad that in Europe, they're trying to restrict carbon dioxide, the very thing we breathe out, they want to restrict. And so they're even making it so that the farmers can't use fertilizers to plant their own crops anymore. I mean, it's just gotten out of hand. But you want to know what's really going on? Go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, and it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any of the trees. Now, this is in the future during the tribulation period. But what the Bible's saying here is that God controls the weather. There are 41 instances in the Bible where it shows that God is controlling the weather. So all this talk about man-made global warming and climate change, why the climate is changing, remember that God is sovereign and He is controlling it.
You know, I think that our friend who's coming to our conference coming up this year in June, Jack Hibbs, has touched on the days of deception and how so many people are seeing these very signs. They are alarmed, but instead of recognizing the Word of God as being authoritative and really warning us to flee from the wrath to come and into the loving arms of our children, they are sometimes either, as I said, blaspheming God or falling away. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, said, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, but realize this, in the last days difficult times will come. And we're seeing all those things happen on the spiritual front, again, right before our eyes, and not just in the Catholic Church, folks, too often in many Protestant denominations that are straying from the true doctrine handed down once for all by the saints of old for us to stay true to the Orthodox Christian faith.
True, and it's a matter of interpretation. If you interpret the Bible literally with the golden rule of interpretation, if the plain sense makes sense, look for no other sense lest you end up with nonsense. And that's what all this climate change alarmism is. It's nonsense because we're not interpreting the Bible literally. We're not taking Jesus for His word, where He said that He's trying to wake up the nations with these natural disasters and signs.
When you scroll through the daily news, you almost always hear bad news. It's easy to forget that there's anything good happening in the world today. But here at Christ in Prophecy, we want to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is returning soon. So swipe away the endless bad news and open up our free online Lamplighter magazine to discover your blessed hope. In the Lamplighter magazine, we explain why the nations are raging against each other in war, what's really happening in culture, and why you can have hope in Christ. The Lamplighter magazine is available in email, print, and downloadable formats. Sign up today at christinprophecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. We started the program today with the first three categories of signs: nature, society, and spiritual. Now we're going to continue with the remaining signs: world politics, technology, and the signs of Israel. Tim, you have a vast history in politics. Tell us about the sign of world politics.
Well, I don't know about a vast history. I spent 13 years in the legislature in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and learned quite a bit. Obviously, I realized that that is not any place to put your hope. Instead, we must put our hope only in Christ. But yes, the world political scene is beginning to shape up just as described in Scripture. Nathan, I'm reminded just a few years ago when famously American politicians like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton told us that Russia was no longer a threat. Hillary Clinton presented the Russian foreign minister with a reset button, saying, "Let's reset our relationship." Barack Obama said, "The bear has been defanged. Russia is no longer a threat whatsoever to the West." And yet, just a few years later, obviously Russia invaded Ukraine, Russia is aligning with Turkey, and Russia is aligning with Iran. All of those are predicted in God's word as being the axis of evil, so to speak, that comes against Israel in the last days, in the war of Gog and Magog. Now, we're not suggesting that we're about to enter that war, but it just shows you that the very nations the Bible describes as being end-time coalition of nations is coming to pass right before our very eyes, let alone the clamor throughout Europe and the West for a one-world leader and a one-world government, also predicted in Bible prophecy.
Amazing. When you think about these prophecies were made hundreds of years ago, if not thousands. I mean, look at Ezekiel for the Gog-Magog War. That was 2,600 years ago. Yet God, through the prophets, told us what the end-time configuration would be: a more superpowered Israel, Europe rising from the dust, the Western world ceasing to be a major influence. China doesn't even show up until the end of the tribulation time period. So yes, signs of world politics are all over, and they're all coalescing, just as the Bible predicted. What do you think, Tim, about the sign of technology, fifth category?
I was going to ask you that, Nathan, because I think many people would read Scripture and say, well, where is technology in Scripture? Surely these ancient prophets didn't think about technology as we would imagine it. And yet, what we would assert is that many of the prophecies make sense best in light of modern technology. And just to use one example, the Bible says in Revelation 11 that two great witnesses will testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will have supernatural power, but they will be in Jerusalem, and the whole world will hear their gospel message. The Antichrist will try to kill them, but will not succeed for 3.5 years. At the midpoint of the tribulation, they will be killed. The Lord will allow them to die, and they will lie in the streets of Jerusalem while the entire world looks on. For the last 2,000 years, Christians read that passage and wondered how that could possibly come to pass. How could the whole world look on these two bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem? But we take for granted that that could happen right now.
Absolutely. There's all sorts of signs foretold in the Bible related to technology. Two of them right in Daniel 12, verse 4, the angel tells Daniel, "Shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end," or the end times. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Well, we live in a time of exponential. I'm going to use that word exponential because we're on an exponential curve. We're going up that curve faster and faster, just as the birth pains are like. We're becoming more and more knowledgeable thanks to computer technology. We're traveling all over the world. I mean, just think about 100 years ago, people were still pretty much horse and buggy. There's a few cars. Now we're going up into outer space with SpaceX and other things. We know about the living image of the Antichrist, which the whole world will worship. the Mark of the Beast system, which will control global commerce. Nuclear weapons seem to be indicated in the sixth seal judgment. So there's all sorts of technologies the Bible foretold. You just have to know where to look for them.
You certainly do. And we need to get to the last sign because I think it is the most important before we run out of time today. You mentioned the world political scene and Israel reemerging as a superpower, and it really has. And yet, for almost 2,000 years, Christians reading the promise that Israel would be reestablished had to wonder, how could that happen? Because the Jews have been dispersed around the world, and they're living very comfortably in places like Germany and Poland and even Russia. And yet, Nathan, just within this past century, the world has witnessed the Jewish people finally begin to stream back to their ancient homeland, Israel. And today, more Jews live in Israel than the rest of the world combined. And they are recognizing that they are isolated even among the nations, which is what the Bible foretold as well.
One of the key verses or key passages is Isaiah 11:11. It shall come to pass in that day, the end times, that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. And it talks about all over the world. Not the first exile or return back in the 500s BC, but a second one where the Romans in 70 AD spread the Jews around the world, the diaspora, and brought them back to the land again. And there's all sorts of other prophecies tied to that, that the Israelis would take a desolate land and make it habitable again, that they would, their military would come back, that there would be food, a great abundance, the language, the people, they'd stream from all over the world. Now half of the world's Jewry lives in Israel and not in the rest of the world. So it's amazing to think that the sign of Israel is happening in our day and age. And the Lord said, when that happens, the fig tree rebuds, then we know for a fact that Jesus is coming soon. Well, folks, we're glad that you've been with us today. And Tim's going to come back in just a minute to give you some final thoughts. Jesus taught his followers to watch for the signs of the times, but only 2% of churches teach Bible prophecy. At Lamb and Lion Ministries, our team of scholars and evangelists travel across the country to share their insights into Bible prophecy. To bring solid teaching about Bible prophecy to your community, invite us to come and speak at your church. We want to help Christians understand what's really happening in the world from a biblical perspective. To book a speaker, get in touch with us at ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, you can tell as Nathan and I discuss the signs of the times that we really are excited about what is happening before our eyes. For many generations, Christians probably wished that they could see the very things that we are witnessing today. And yet, many Christians take for granted what is happening. I've asked Christians who were alive in 1948 when Israel was reestablished, and in 1967 when they came back in possession of Jerusalem. And most churches were oblivious, or at least totally unimpressed, that Bible prophecy was coming to pass in our own day and age. You know, Jesus had a very strong word of criticism to the Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew chapter 16. He said, "You understand the signs of the weather. For instance, when it is red sky in the evening, you know that it will be fair weather. And if it's red sky in the morning, you know it will be a storm. But yet you don't understand how to discern the signs of the times." Brothers and sisters, I would think that today, with the signs of the times multiplying before our very eyes, the Lord would have the same word for us. We need to discern the very signs that he spoke of in Scripture to know that he is coming soon. Why do we talk so much about Bible prophecy? Well, Revelation 19:10 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So all the prophecies that we talk about on Christ in Prophecy Radio hearken to Jesus Christ and his soon coming. And not just for the glorious event that will be for each and every one of us, but we try to warn those who are currently abiding under the wrath of God that they need to flee from the wrath to come and into the loving arms of our Savior. If today you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and worship him, then you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of Jesus. Confess your own sinfulness and repent, and you will be saved. He will not cast you aside, and there will be no condemnation for you. Then you too can look forward to his glorious return. You know, sadly, many Christians as well mock at the very idea that Jesus is coming soon. They say, well, it's been 2,000 years. My grandparents were excited about the Lord's return, but he didn't come in their lifetime. My parents were excited, and he didn't come in their lifetime either. So Nathan today referred to Peter's word in 2 Peter chapter 3 about the Lord not being slow about his coming. Indeed, he is not. In spite of the fact that many have longed for his coming and he didn't in their lifetimes, there will be a generation when he appears, and we're told to be ready. So my encouragement to you today is to look up and be watchful, for our redemption does draw near. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and very soon. Are you ready? On behalf of Christ in Prophecy Radio and Lamb and Lion Ministries, this is Tim Moore saying, Godspeed.